2,000 years ago that you sent your son to this earth and be one of us and become one of us, and you allow him to suffer not because he's guilty but because we are guilty. So Father, as we went through all the Bible verses, experience the touching and the hearing that happened on that day, just remind us what love you have given us and what gift you have given us as well, that through your son's death on the cross that our sin can become forgiven. So Father, with a thankful heart, with a joyful heart, we come before you to sing and to worship you. And may we ask you to sit on your throne to enjoy this service as well. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I will begin by reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 27, 3-8. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Mark 14, 66-72. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know what or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again he denied it. After a while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept.
From heaven you came, helpless babe, and the glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow Him, to bring our lives as a daily offering. to the servant king. There in the garden of tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will but yours he said. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space. To cruel nails surrender. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to King.
Matthew 27:24-26. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Matthew 27:27-29. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will to the old rugged cross stained with blood so divine. A wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday.
Continuing with Matthew 27, they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Matthew 27, 48-49. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself been a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of a rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away.
It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice. Washes me. My Jesus, God's precious sacrifice. It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood took my place in redeeming sacrifice, washes me,
Take us to the Old Testament now, where the Lord's coming was foretold. Isaiah 53:1-7. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
Let's stand for this song. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
Please be seated, everyone. We'd like to invite Pastor Roger. to come up and do the communion.
Thank you very much, worship team. Sometimes you and I sin. In fact, I sin quite often. And we've come here on this Good Friday, and everything that we've touched and smelt and seen and heard this morning is related to your sin and to my sin. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're one of those people who has sinned. I don't know whether you're like me, but sometimes when I sin, I get very discouraged. And I want to surrender. And sometimes I think this Christian life is too difficult to live. It's impossible. The temptations are too great. The world is too tough. But then I remember, hallelujah, no, there is a remedy for sin. God has provided a remedy for sin. And if you or I sin through ignorance or even deliberately, if we have broken God's law, one of his commandments, the wonderful thing, friends, there is a remedy for sin. Now, for the ancient Israelites, it was tough. Because for the ancient Israelites, the remedy for sin involved money. For a priest, it was more money. It was the price of a young bull. For the everyday person, it was the price of a female goat. But praise God, today we don't have to bring money. And no pastor, true pastor, who loves Jesus and loves the Word of God will ever try and trick you that you need to bring money for atonement. Isn't that wonderful? But bring an offering you must. This is the era of God's grace. And in John chapter 1 verse 29, the Baptist stood like a signpost and he said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Hey, you don't have to bring a lamb or a goat this morning. Your sacrifice has been made once and for all on the cross of Calvary, and it is, you've heard me say this before, it is efficacious forever. That means that Jesus died instead of you. His death was a substitutionary death, and his death has effect forever. A great old hymn writer wrote these words, "Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they." And continuing, Isaac Watts, this great man of God, this great hymn writer, wrote, "My faith would lay her hand on this dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. My soul looks back to see the burden thou didst bear when hanging on the accursed tree, and knows her guilt was there." Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, we're in the covenant of grace. And all you need to do this morning is come and lay your hand on the head of the Saviour. The Lamb that has already been provided for you and for me. You say, well, what on earth does that mean? Well, let me try and explain it this way. For you and me this morning, it means identification. We need to identify ourselves with the Lamb of God. Now, in the New Testament, there's a lot of things said about the laying on of hands. In the tradition of most evangelical churches and in the CMA, when a young man has studied for the ministry and the time comes for him to be ordained into the Christian ministry, then the elders of the church lay their hands on him and set him apart. This is a symbolic identification. It's a union. We lay our hands on that young minister and we're identifying ourselves with him in all that he is going to face as a pastor in the years to come. And of course, in Israel, the people would come with their guilt in their hearts. They would come to the tabernacle or to the temple, and the priest would have that lamb, and the people, with their hearts full of guilt and sin, would lay their hand on the head of that little goat and say, my heart is full of sin, my heart is guilty, but little lamb, you are going to die, you are going to atone for my sins, and I am going to go free. That's how they did it back in Israel. And this ritual was repeated over and over and over and over again. And really, that ritual was symbolic. It could never really take away sin. But the reason that God had this repeated over and over again was that Israel was knowing that one day the perfect Lamb was going to come. A Saviour was going to come. Someone according to watch him, someone, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood. Jesus, we are told in the New Testament, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. Every now and again, when I'm alone in my study, sometimes I open my Bible to Isaiah chapter 53 and I get down on my knees, and wherever that personal pronoun occurs in that wonderful verse, I put my name. And I'm going to read that this morning, and as I read it, instead of Roger Lang, you put your name in there. And in this way this morning, you will be laying your head on that Lamb of God, identifying with him again. Let's pray together. Surely he took up Roger Lang's infirmities and carried Roger Lang's sorrows. He was pierced for Roger Lang's transgressions and he was crushed for Roger Lang's iniquities. Brothers and sisters, you've just laid your hand on the head of the sacrifice that was made. That is identifying with the Lamb. And you can do it again this morning as we come. Now, this service this morning has been rich with symbols. And I'm so glad that our Christian faith has so many symbols. This morning you've held money in your hands. You've had a dice. You've had the crown of thorns, the linen cloth, the nails, the vinegar on the stick. So many symbols. And all of those represent the cross. And of course, this morning we're coming to the table and the cross is represented by the bread, another symbol, and the wine or the grape juice, another symbol. So this morning as we come to the table and you hold in your hands that bread once again and that little cup of juice, remember, as you hold those things, as you hold those symbols, you are laying your hand on the head of that sacrifice that was made for you over 2,000 years ago. Let's identify with our precious Lord Jesus afresh this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. I invite you, even from what you've experienced this morning, perhaps for the very first time in your life, to take the bread and take the cup and in that way lay your hand on the sacrifice and identify with him, knowing that he died and you don't have to. He died in your place. Your sins have already been dealt with in atoning sacrifice at Calvary's cross. Would the people that I've asked to help me please come? Just on behalf of all of us, I want to thank the worship team again for that very creative introduction to our service this morning. And as you think back on how your five senses have been activated this morning in relation to the cross, keep them in mind as I read these very, very familiar verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And then, of course, Paul goes on, I'm not going to read it this morning, but he talks about sin in our lives. He talks about taking the sacrifice while we still have sin in our hearts. But this morning we've already dealt with that. And I trust there's no one here this morning who would refrain from taking the bread and the wine because you feel guilty of sin this morning. It's been dealt with. So this morning, take the symbols and lay your hand on the sacrifice and thank him again for all that he has done. So Jesus broke the bread, he took the cup, and we're going to ask these guys to hand out the elements, and I'd ask you to just hold them in your hands, and when everyone has received them, we're going to eat and drink together. If you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus and you don't feel yet that it's time to take these symbols, then we just invite you to allow them to pass by. This table doesn't belong to this church. This is the table of the Lord Jesus, and it's available to anyone who loves him. I wonder, as I hold these symbols this morning, just for a few minutes, how is Jesus at work in your life, and what does he mean to you? As you've reflected on his death again this morning, is there someone who'd like to share what Jesus means to you? Maybe you're a new believer. Johnny, did you want to say something? I could just feel it coming on.
Yeah, I'll say a few words. Thank you. Jesus is just so amazing. There's so many things going on, but Roger sent an email out just recently to, I guess, the church leaders, and one thing he wrote was one of the reasons why he's a pastor and he's loved the church, loved you guys, and loves Jesus so much is Jesus himself dying on the cross. And that's the message that we have to send to everyone else. And just today, receiving and listening to the message, we can never forget that. It's not the works. It's not that you have to work for it. We've got it. Jesus has already paid for our sins. We've got it.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Has anyone else got it and like to share with us? We're not used to this in this church. My first church for 5 years, this is what we did every Sunday. Everyone had a go. Who'd like to tell us what Jesus means to them? Thanks, Phil.
Thank you. I just want to share that Jesus is my all. I was really touched this morning by what happened here. and that song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" When I was saved, it was the realization of the power of the blood of Jesus that broke through and enabled me to be saved. And I like that song that says, that we're covered with the blood of Jesus, and when he looks at us, he doesn't see what we used to be, but he sees Jesus. And I see that very powerful. And that set me free from fear, from condemnation. And he's just an awesome, awesome God. And I know that he loves all of us more than we can ever realize this side of heaven. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. This is great. Renee, you're next. Hey guys, it's all the ladies who are sharing. Come on, a couple of you men.
Just when Roger was telling us to substitute our own name into what Jesus had done for us, it just reminded me that we can feel, our feelings can go up and down, we can maybe feel worthless sometimes, but the fact is we can't be worthless if he died for us. If he chose to give his life up on the cross for each of us as an individual, we're of great worth to him if he did that for us.
Amen. My God is a living God, and I just he's my everything.
Amen. Thanks, Kathy.
And everything is shaky and trembling and breaking all around me. It is Jesus who is my rock and his finished work that I can stand on.
Hi, George.
You see, I come from a place of... and we experience death for a long time, but Jesus' death is one of those different deaths that we celebrate. And as a culture who's used to death all the time, I see that my people celebrate death, and it's different because it's death for you. And I think if someone is dying in my place, I'll celebrate that.
Amen.
And sometimes I wish that I was on that road, watching the whole process of carrying the cross and falling down and experience all that. And we were just joking this morning. I said, hey, everybody, we need to get to church by 9 o'clock because we don't want to be late for the road to the cross. Because imagine if Jesus had an African time and he was late to the to the cross. It would have been very difficult.
Bless you, brother. Hallelujah. It wasn't for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, including all those precious people in Sudan.
It just says, as I think about Jesus' death, one of the things for me is just that he's our guarantee of God's love for us. When things are difficult or things are hard or things aren't going the way you like or I like or not sure about things, I can go back and think about Jesus' death and I have a guarantee. God does love me and he's concerned about me and he's got his best plan for me. Paul wrote, for God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not freely give us all things? And we can be totally sure, I can be sure that he's committed to me, for no reason that it's good in me, but because I see Jesus' death, I know that's a guarantee.
Thanks, Craig. Well, hallelujah. Anyone else just busting to say something? Let's just give thanks for the bread and for the wine. Symbols of his body and symbols of his blood. Father, you've asked us to do this, to celebrate this very simple meal in remembrance of you. And this morning, with hearts overflowing, with hearts that are trembling, as we see you being condemned, as we see you being crucified, we say thank you, Lord. You who, for the joy that was set before you, endured the pain of the cross. And this morning, we lay our hands on that sacrifice with hearts full of thanksgiving. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Sometimes I wonder how many times this has been done since Jesus went back to heaven. In great cathedrals, in little thatched buildings out in the jungle, in rented schools, in lovely urban churches, in gutted houses like this one. People for over 2,000 years have held the bread and the wine to remember. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me until I come. So friends, at the end of this service, while we've remembered his death, Sundays are coming. He's alive. And so let's eat and drink with thanksgiving and rejoice, and lay your hands on that sacrifice again this morning. Let's eat and drink together. I think we should all say hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Do we have one more song, Danielle? Thank you.
And let's all stand and sing the last song together.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but lost, and pour contempt on all my forbidden love that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingling down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? All those compose so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all.
Let's conclude this morning by listening to that very wonderful prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers towards the end of chapter 3. He said, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now, if you think that's impossible, he finishes with this prayer. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. 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 God bless you. Have a happy Easter. We're going to have some hot cross buns and some coffee. So stay and have some fellowship. And then on Sunday morning, if you're able to come, please come, bring some friends, and we're going to be preaching a gospel message.